Welcome back to Tay Learning and happy Tortured Poets Department Week. My name is Olivia.
And my name is Danny, and we are your very, very excited co-hosts.
Your tortured co-hosts, if you will.
Oh my God. I hated it, but I kind of loved it.
It's so tortured.
Oh my God. Okay, so we obviously sound so tortured, but the real torture is going to be listening to this after the actual album comes out, because one of you, I don't remember who messaged us this, somebody messaged us, thank you for sending this to us, I think maybe on TikTok, saying that your favorite episode, like, of all time was the episode where we guessed what the tracks of Midnights were going to sound like, and then we were so horribly wrong. I'm so glad you all love that. I hate it.
I love them. I think you need exposure therapy. We need to sit you down and make you listen to our old episodes where we guest songs. It's so funny.
I can't do that. I think about interactions that I had as a kid that were cringy, and I'm like, oh God. And then I bury that memory away and try never to think about it again. But those weren't on a microphone distributed to thousands of people. This is.
Girl, I'm the same as you, but this is funny.
I hope you're right, because the bulk of people listening to this will be listening after the album is out. That's crazy.
I know. So if you haven't been catching our drift, you didn't listen to the very end of last week's episode, today we are going to go through the entire Tortured Poets track listing, and we're going to guess what the song will sound like, if we think it'll be fast, slow, try to make up our own hooks if we're feeling creative, and to kind of guess what the story and the lyrics is going to be. We like to do this before any new Taylor Swift music comes out, because I think it's fun. Danny thinks it's fun to do. Danny does not think it's fun to listen to after we already know what the song sounds like.
No, I get that it's entertaining for others, which is why we continue to do it. But exposure therapy might be right. This might be the way to climb Cringe Mountain for myself. I will try to go back and listen, though, like even to the Midnights one. It's been years, not quite years, a year and a half since that episode came out. That's right, right? Yeah, year and a half.
Yeah.
I go back and I get 20 minutes in and I'm like, nope, not today. And I just turn
like,
it off.
Danny, that's not what that song sounds like.
Now, granted, that was a drunk episode. That was the debut of our Dixie Swifties. Speaking of, before we jump into this, we do have to do housekeeping. And that first one, segue, is going to be that for a limited time, you can still get our Tipsy Swifties merch on our website. It's actually going to go away soon because we have more surprises in store. So get on over to taylearningpodcast.com, get yourself some Tipsy Swifties glassware, because come on, having a shot glass, having a wine glass that just says like Tipsy Swifties on it, just remind people that you can be both tipsy and a Swiftie.
As always, don't forget to rate and review our podcast wherever you listen. If you leave a review on Apple Podcasts, it may end up on the homepage of our website, taylearningpodcast.com.
As with every episode since the beginning of season 3, we promise we'll work through our backlog at some point. But if you go into the description of this episode, you see a little thing that says Spotify playlist. Click here. And if you click there where it says click here, you will be taken to a playlist that will have every single song that we referenced during this episode. Now, after the album does come out, I might go in and backfill every single song on Tortured Poets so you can really compare. But in lieu of putting in music clips into our episode, we will still give you some homework.
Meet you here after the break.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
So the first track on the Tortured Poets Department, which, as a reminder, comes out, if you're listening to this on the day that this episode drops, it comes out tomorrow night at midnight. All right. So I don't even know what to say about that. I don't even know how I feel about that. Anyway,
I don't know how to feel either. I'm scared.
The first track is Fortnite featuring Post Malone.
I don't think we can fairly do this one, because if you have not, experienced the maybe AI, maybe a leak. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Okay. So warning, fast forward about 30 seconds from right here. If you do not want an idea of what the AI snippet or maybe real snippet sounds like, okay, boom. So there's this leak AI, we don't know, going around on TikTok that's like, I've been waiting here, waiting all night. Something, something going on a fortnight.
Two weeks today.
It's so silly. And it's like just silly good enough that it could be real, but also maybe AI. And I think that because some people are like, well, it hasn't been taken down yet, so it's actually AI. Here's my theory. If it's not AI, Taylor Swift wants this to be the lead single, but because she's not the best at picking her lead singles, I'm sorry, me, but because she's not the best at picking her lead singles, I think she might have intentionally had it leaked a little bit to see public response to it. And spoiler alert, public response to it has been great. If it's AI, it's AI, and that's okay. Whatever she wrote is probably better. But if it's not, it wouldn't surprise me if that's why it's still up.
And you can see when she re-released 1989, how her intention was that Slut was going to be the single from the vault, but everyone just fell head over heels for Is It Over Now? And so she switched it up real fast and like let that be the actual single.
Exactly. Exactly. So maybe it's a leak, but I can't even imagine what this song sounds like because the AI.
Yeah, me either. So that's my bet.
I bet it'll be a banger. That's what I bet.
I sure hope so.
I really like Post Malone. I think that he has some really good music. I think his album Austin was unfairly slammed. I do think Beer Bongs and Bentley's rocked. If it's anything like his song Stay, which I think it has potential to be, that'll be in the playlist. Go listen to that. Then I'm like, okay, I could see that being very tortured, very poetic.
I know. It'll be interesting how she uses him on this track. Because if she's going for like perfect radio single, she can achieve that with him on the track. But I would love it for her to like dig a little deeper too. And also still use her collaborators.
Okay. Then we have the title track, The Tortured Poets Department, which comes in almost at 5 minutes. Olivia, I'm going to be so for real. I can't understand how that phrase works into a hook. And I think that all the time, like I remember thinking, how does Now That We Don't Talk work into a hook? And then it worked so well with Now That We Don't Talk. So
and You're On Your Own Kid. I got the ick from You're On Your Own Kid so bad.
You did. You even when you were talking about it on the podcast, you'd be like, you're on your own, kid.
Yeah, that's all that my brain would say. And I'm like, this is a track 5 and it's called You're On Your Own Kid. Like, I can't. And then it's perfect. It makes me cry.
Shit, I don't know.
Okay, my theory, the first thing that came to mind is, my theory is that it will not be in the lyrics.
Okay.
Like, maybe she'll say, like, tortured poet, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the tortured poet's department is just the title.
Maybe she did that because she just wanted the title of the album to be that. So she had to make sure.
Yeah. But then she could have pulled a Reputation. There's not a track named Reputation.
There's not a track named Reputation. There's not a track named Folklore. Yeah. There is
to be honest, I wish that she wouldn't have had a song that named the Tortured Poets Department.
Kind of same. But I guess I'll feel more confidently about how I feel about that after I hear the actual song.
I know. And for a song, okay, pause. For an album title, The Tortured Poets Department, I'm very intrigued. For a song called The Tortured Poets Department, I'm significantly less intrigued for some reason. It sounds so dry to me. It can't be dry. It's a track 2. Track 2s are always so good because they're like still leading you into the album. Her track 2s are traditionally very strong, in my opinion.
I agree. I think that like, by and large, and this is not a universal truth, but by and large, her weakest songs tend to fall between like 6 and 10. Like after you've gotten through the breakthrough of the album and the end of the album is usually strong. And then in the middle, it kind of weakens. So it has to be strong, right? I don't know. I don't know how it could possibly work. I think that the title Tortured Poets Department still to me, not the song title, like an album title, is a little bit off-putting. But is it off-putting because I think it's a bad title, or is it off-putting because every other album is so quick? Speak Now, Reputation, Red, Evermore, like they're all so quick. And then it's the wordy ass, the Tortured Poets Department. So the song has to be strong in order for it in my head to redeem how much of a mouthful the title is.
True. Do we think that it will be fast or slow?
I think somewhere in between, like how Delicate is.
Like kind of slow verses, but like a little quicker chorus and then a quicker bridge. And then
that's my guess.
Something like that.
It is almost 5 minutes. So
yeah, it has the potential to be a slower, more heartfelt song.
But also Enchanted is a really long song, and Enchanted isn't super fast, but it's not sad either.
Yeah, I feel like that is a really good example of a song that has kind of slower verses, but more like built up in the chorus and the bridge.
Interesting, interesting.
Track three is My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
Okay, this title kind of icks me out. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like it's like infantilizing a little bit, but like, is it Joe Alwyn? What? I just don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening. I don't know. I can't even conceptualize what this song could possibly like sound like. And that bothers me. I think maybe that's why it icks me out.
Interesting. Because for me, because it's so condescending, I think this is going to be one of the more aggressive, angry tracks.
Okay.
I don't get the ick from it that you do. I get excited from this because it sounds juicy.
Oh, man. See, that's how I felt about You're On Your Own, Kid, I think. I mean, we were drunk, so I don't really remember, and I don't listen to that episode. But the title of that really intrigued me. I was like, what could she possibly mean? So we have inverse opinions here. I don't know what it's going to sound like. I feel like it has to be absolutely dragging Joe Alwyn. I feel like that
like,
has to be.
It sounds sarcastic, and like you would say, my boy only breaks his favorite toys with an eye roll.
Is Taylor saying that she's his favorite toy and he just keeps breaking her?
That's what I think.
Interesting.
Or maybe like to make it more complex, it would be examples of favorite toys being broken, like other relationships in his life, other like passions in his life, or something like that. And then she's like the ultimate one in the end. Like she sees him breaking his favorite toys again and again, and then it's her.
I think what's interesting about like a lot of the titles on this album, but this one is a good example, is Taylor has said before, like, I didn't want the song to be We Never Got a Style because that's such a long hook when it could just be Style. Like, okay, like, interesting. My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys. She could have just called it Favorite Toys. Maybe. I don't know. We haven't listened to it. But yeah. She obviously picks titles with intention. So there has to be a reason that she wants us to know that full title.
Yeah. And another reason why I think it's going to be a little angrier is it seems to be one of the first ones that's very obvious about a breakup via the track name. I think she'll lead with that.
Okay, so the fourth track is Down Bad. This is another one. I don't think that the leak that's going around is real. I think that people saw the hype of the Fortnite leak AI or whatever and decided to make an AI out of a song so that it would be a viral audio. I don't know if you've heard it, Olivia. But I've like fast scrolled every time because I didn't want any leaks. This has to be AI because it just like goes down bad. And then I don't remember the lyrics, but it's like down bad. And then I scroll. I don't think that that's it, but I could see it being a little bit more sultry and synthy. I could see that.
My brain can't decide which way I anticipate it to go, which is why I think it's, you know, the track name. Like, is it down bad? Like she's sad. Is it down bad that she's down bad for him, like romantically, or is it down bad as in I can't get over the sadness?
So here's the thing. The phrase down bad is like a relatively chronically online phrase of people being like, I'm down so astronomically bad for this man. Like if I said that to somebody in real life, if they're not chronically online, they'll be like, what do you mean? And so for those of you who may not know, down bad means like obsessed, like would do anything for, kind of like you have the fattest crush on this guy. So even him looking at you and being like, hey, would make your freaking toes curl. That's being down bad. So is Taylor, we know she's like chronically online. So is she saying I'm down bad? Is this a Travis Kelce track? What is going on? Because we don't know when she stopped recording Tortured Poets.
My bet is it isn't Travis Kelce.
I don't think anything on this
album. Even if it was positive. Yeah. Because
I don't think anything on this album is Travis Kelce. I think that's the next album.
She had to be down bad for Joe Alwyn if she was with him for 6 years, right?
Yeah, but by the time she was writing this?
She wrote it over the course of 2 years.
Maybe she was singing about how she used to be so down bad and how that went away.
And like, I feel like expressing that you're down bad for someone is like you're hopelessly obsessed, even if you know that you shouldn't be. It's not all positive. Does it have
no,
to
it's
be,
not.
I guess?
It's not. I guess I always think of down bad in like the context of honeymoon stage or idealistic, like thinking about somebody in a way that doesn't actually exist. That's how I think about down bad. But maybe that's just me. So I don't know. I do stand by and we'll be either proven right or proven wrong pretty quickly. But I don't think anything on this album is about Travis Kelce because I think she wanted to wrap up the Joe Alwyn chapter of her life. I think she wanted it to be fully Jover.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Especially like, I don't know, for any song to have made it in time. I guess she can write fast, but like, I don't know. I prefer it this way. I like it compartmentalized.
Fair. But she couldn't compartmentalize Reputation. Things move too fast pre-rap.
So do we think Down Bad is going to be slow or fast or both?
Both.
For some reason, my brain is screaming pop, like something really, really poppy. I don't know why.
I think it's going to be both. I think it'll have like sultry ass verses, and then it'll be like a banger chorus. That's my guess. With no reason to believe that.
I think I might want to take back something I said about My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys.
What?
So what if tracks 1 through 4 are like when the relationship was rocky, but like not over and not angry necessarily, and 5 was, oh shit, we broke up, because track 5 is called So Long London. That's definitive. And then what if everything after that is post-breakup?
Oh my God. What if this is literally her telling the story of how they broke up?
Yeah. Like, what if it's in chronological order?
Oh my God. That would be such tea. It would make sense. As I'm like reading down the track list. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So maybe, okay. I'm so sorry. This is so chaotic. Maybe My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys is like, well, I'm his favorite. He says I'm his favorite. You put me on and said I was your favorite.
Uh-huh.
And still like trying to spin these red flags positive. And then So Long London is like recognizing that it's over.
Okay, so that does bring us into the track 5, which as we all know is the emotional breaking point of the album, So Long London. Oh my God, imagine a So Long London, London Boy mashup. Hee hee. I know, right? So this one, I feel like has to be sad, but not even necessarily, or slow, but not even necessarily because it's a track 5. Like, a track 5 doesn't have to be slow. All you had to do was stay wasn't slow. Even You're On Your Own Kid had a driving, like, BPM. I just think that if this is going to actually be the crack of the album, which track 5 is, the most emotionally vulnerable on the album, how can she sing retrospectively about her 6-year-long relationship that ended without being sad?
Yeah, I expect sad ballad out of this one.
Yeah.
And especially like So Long London, saying so long is just an artsy way of saying goodbye, you know. It's a lot more poetic, for lack of better words, I suppose. So yeah, this one is one of my most anticipated ones, not gonna lie.
Absolutely. But I feel like having track 5 be one of our most anticipated is not a hot take.
I did not have a ton of anticipation for You're On Your Own Kid.
That's true, but you got the ick from the title. The longest track on the album is next.
It's called But Daddy, I Love Him. The ones you get the ick from are the ones I'm most intrigued by.
I'm intrigued by it, but I do get the... Okay, I don't know, man. There's nothing inherently wrong with the word daddy. There's nothing wrong with it. It can be cute and speaking to your actual father, and it can be sexual. And I don't call my dad daddy. I don't actually remember a time when I did, although I'm sure I did when I was a kid, but I don't remember that. I don't know. It's interesting. Do you think it's actually a nod to Ariel, like people think it is, since she says that in The Little Mermaid?
Personally, no. But like, I think that's mostly coming from a place of, that was not the first thing I thought of when I saw this track title. I forgot that was even a line in The Little Mermaid. And I like The Little Mermaid.
What do you think it's going to sound like then?
Okay, so I feel like So Long London's going to be slow. So therefore, I don't think But Daddy, I Love Him is going to be slow. I think we're going to be surprised by the way that it sounds.
I don't know why we haven't talked about this yet. The theme of this album is like the stages of grief, which was confirmed. Again, we don't really know if she got inspired to kind of talk about stages of grief by Swifties, or Swifties really did clock that easily about this album being inspired by stages of grief. What if the album is broken down into stages of grief? Like, yeah, you say pre and post breakup, but what if the first few songs are anger and this is like bargaining? But Daddy, I Love Him.
I don't know. I feel like I'm so bad at trying to figure out what a Taylor Swift song sounds like, especially bad at like trying to figure out what the hook is or what it's going to sound like. Because I know like on our Midnight's episode, we were like singing, but we did have some influence on that episode.
The alcohol variety. Also, like Olivia said before we hopped on hot mics, the titles of Tortured Poets seem a lot more intriguing to us than the titles of Midnight's. She gives us a lot of detail, these titles, and yet that makes it almost tougher to guess a hook.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I can't even imagine But Daddy, I Love Him, but it is almost 6 minutes long, which leads me to believe that it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be theatric. I feel like it's going to be big. I feel like it's going to be going back and forth, like a trial and tribulation situation of her fighting with herself over wanting to stay with this guy versus wanting to leave. Like, I see it being very Broadway. Our favorite theater kid is going to be at it again.
With that being said, do we think the line, "But Daddy, I love him," is going to be repeated chorus by chorus by chorus? Or do we think the whole song will be leading up to a break in the bridge, and that's when she says, "But Daddy, I love him," in the bridge? Or something like that.
Gut feeling that she's going to repeat it in the hook over and over again.
Yeah.
I want it to be the way that you just described it. I don't think it will be.
Because that's the only way I can think of it and it not be cheesy. Though I am not Taylor Allison Swift.
As hard as we try. So let's talk about track 7, Fresh Out the Slammer, which is crazy when she has the lyrics like, "He could be my jailer, Burton to this Taylor.
Fresh out the slammer.
Fresh out the slammer."
What if, I'm so sorry for bringing this up, what if this is like about her little thing with Maddie Healy?
I knew you were going to say Maddie Healy. I knew you were going to say Maddie Healy. I don't know. I don't know if she's going to make any references to him. It would be wise of her, in my opinion, to not make any references to him.
But what if she does it in like a more subtle way of like, you know, when she's fresh out the slammer, fresh out of this 6-year long relationship, things that she struggled with and like things that she did because she was struggling. And that's just like a subtle nod.
I don't know. I feel like this is going to be fast, though. I feel like it's going to be fast.
I absolutely agree.
I feel like it's going to be something that could get radio play. Like, I don't think it will. But also, Taylor Swift songs that aren't singles get radio play all the time for some reason because of her just astronomical levels of fame. So,
yeah. Yeah, I will say Fresh Out the Slammer is one that I'm low-key not super intrigued by. But with that being said, like, of course, if I'm not intrigued by it, I'm going to love it.
You know what I am intrigued by? Florida! 3 exclamation points with Florence and the Machine. And here is why. Scott Swift said that it was his favorite on the album.
Interesting. I did not know that.
I think he said in like a TikTok comment that it was that or the title track. I don't remember exactly. Don't quote me on that. But that he'd said that Florida was his favorite on the album. Why? What is Florida possibly about? Now, here's a little tidbit. Here's a little piece of tea for y'all. Last year, Olivia and I found out that Taylor and Travis Kelce were together secretly in Florida golfing because we met a guy in a bar that had evidence of being in Florida, like playing golf with Travis
Kelce. On the golf trip with them, yes.
Yes. Like, there was proof. We know this happened. They were in Florida together. What if this is a Travis Kelce song because they were in Florida during the time that this album would have been hypothetically being like recorded, like wrapped up recording? I'm just saying.
Isn't there significance about her Florida Eras tour stop too in the Joe Alwyn timeline?
Would Florida have been her first show after the announcement? The announcement was April 8th. Was she playing anywhere on April 8th?
Nope. That was the break weekend because she was not on tour. Florida is the first show she played post-announcement.
Oh, yeah. And we had speculated that the announcement was intentionally made during her break weekend.
Yeah. Interesting. But like, if it's something kind of more sad, like this was the first weekend that she went out in public after announcement of their split, it has 3 exclamation points and making the vibe of it seem goofier. Like, it's giving me that this might be the me track of the album just from the exclamation points and like the silly goofy nature of listing the track as she did.
Maybe she's excited. Like, we've talked before about how women tend to break up in their heads long before they actually break up in real life. And that's why women tend to handle breakups better, because they're the ones who have like mourned the relationship before it's over, while men are a bit more impulsive about ending relationships. There's a lot of, you know, evidence to back that up. Maybe Florida was exciting for her. Like, we saw the photos of her after the breakup and she looked okay. She was fine.
At least publicly.
At least publicly. And I'm excited that Florence and the Machine is on it. I think Florence and the Machine is great. That'll be fun. Next is track 9, Guilty as Sin. I am so excited for this one. It sounds sexy. I can imagine it being like super sultry. I'm probably way off the mark because obviously I'm always way off the mark. But oh my God, I'm so excited.
I feel like I would agree with you if it didn't have a question mark. Guilty as Sin, it would be sultry and like false gaudy. But Guilty as Sin, question mark? What does that mean?
I still see it. I don't know how. Like, would doing this make me guilty as sin? Ugh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You sold me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah, okay, I don't have much for this one. I'm going to be so honest. It is over 4 minutes. We have another long track next.
Yeah, this one is track 10. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? This one's going to be slow.
You think so?
Yep.
I think so, too.
It's going to be heart-wrenching.
I think she's going to be pouring her heart out and being like, how does anybody have any sort of fears of me? I'm just me.
This one's going to be so existential. It's going to be like The Archer.
What should be like the most casual fucking song on this whole thing?
Yeah, I'm expecting a deep cut.
Yeah, I really want her to open up on this track. And I think she's going to because it's so long. It's 5.5 minutes.
Yeah. And I can see it like set to just piano, minimal production in the background, Taylor piano.
I really hope she opens up
That's
here.
What I see.
It's giving like could have been a track 5, got relegated to a track 10.
Right.
Okay. We were talking earlier about titles that like are kind of maybe cringy, but also we're intrigued by, and about Taylor being chronically online. I can fix him. No, really, I can. I don't know. I don't actually know how I feel about this title. I feel like I have like this gut feeling that I'm going to love the song so much and that the title will be redeemed by how well the song is going to go.
Girl, the ones that are giving you the ick are the ones I'm most excited for.
I'm most excited for it, but I'm excited because I want to see how she does this.
I feel like, especially given that it's under 3 minutes, I think it's going to be more fast paced and it's going to be panicky.
Like, now that we don't talk, panicky?
Yeah, like, I can fix him. No, really, I can. No, really, I can. No, really, I can. It's going to be panicky.
Yeah, like her going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the way that she has the no, really, I can in parentheses. That's like an add-on. Like, she's really, really trying to convince someone here, whether that's herself or the audience or what, or the person she's talking to. I think it's going to be just a panicky shit show.
This will
possible.
Be like the one exception of so I get the ick. I get the ick on songs when they have another title in parentheses, basically like the whole 1975's discography. But like Mary's song, parentheses, oh my. Girl, just name it oh my. Don't put shit in parentheses. I hate that. This is an exception I'll make because it makes sense in the context of a sentence. I can fix him. No, really, I can. I will let this slide. Anyway, I'm excited to see how she does this.
Me too. I'm definitely getting now that we don't talk vibes a little bit. We're not going to feel satisfied at the end of the song. Is that what I predict?
I'm also really excited to see what LOML stands for. Now, here's the thing. LOML traditionally stands for Love of My Life. Taylor Nation has posted the LOML has her album coming out next week, which is like, oh, Love of My Life. How much does Taylor Nation actually know? How much do they actually know? Right? LOML, she could have said Love of My Life, but she didn't. She said LOML, does it mean Loss of My Life?
What I want to see is it change meaning every single chorus. Like the first chorus, like the love of my life, the love of my life. And then like the next chorus, like whether it's Loss of My Life, the lie of my life, something. She's like changing it every time and it gets a little darker each time.
I would love that. Imagine it being Love of My Life, Loss of My Life. Lesson of my life.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Something. That's what I want to see.
I think it's going to be sad though.
I think so too.
I can't get out of my head. Queen has a song called Love of My Life. It'll be in the playlist. And that's what I hear. And it's so sad and beautiful, but it's like Love of My Life. Duh, duh, duh. Like it's so sad. That's what I hear.
Yeah. And I feel like too with LOML, it's such a modern phrase, I guess. That I think she'll take us the opposite way and make it like a more serious song. And my prediction is that she's not actually going to say LOML. She's just going to say the phrase and it's just going to, I want it to change every now and then.
Same. And that's why she didn't spell it out, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. In my head canon. Track 13. Yay, 13. I can do it with a broken heart. Do you think it's about her performing songs about Joe Alwyn? Because I think it could be about her performing songs about Joe Alwyn.
I think it's going to be more general about just doing life by herself again. Especially with like, it's track 13. 13's her lucky number. She can do it. It's going to be one of those uplifting good songs. Has to be.
I feel like it has the potential to be like upbeat and like you just said, but the lyrics on paper will be absolutely gut shredding.
It's going to be like all you had to do was stay.
Yeah. Like if you read those lyrics,
really fun and upbeat.
All you had to do was stay. You had me in the palm of your hands. All you had to do was stay.
I can do it with a broken heart.
Okay, I am so excited about The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived. I'm so excited. Drag him, sis. Whoever it's about, probably Joe, but whoever it's about, drag him.
Do we think it's going to be like angry upbeat, or do we think it's going to be more solemn and slow and sad?
I could see it going either way, but I kind of want her to be angry. I feel like Taylor Swift doesn't get like really angry very often, so I'm kind of hoping we see that here.
My gut reaction is saying it's going to be, let me tell you a story about the smallest man that ever lived.
Yeah, like very just matter of fact.
Blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be like more eloquent. You know what I mean? Like, that's like my gut feeling. For some reason.
And I think she has respect for Joe Alwyn still. Like, again, mm-hmm. we don't know these people, right? So I don't know how much of what I'm saying is total bullshit. We'll get more insight after she releases the album because Taylor is a chronic oversharer and we love her for it.
Yeah.
But I just feel like she still has a respect for the 6 years that they had, even if it ended poorly. So maybe she won't rip him to shreds. Maybe she'll just matter-of-factly tell a story about him being the smallest man who ever lived.
Yeah. This album, I think, is really going to establish like her headspace regarding her 6 years spent here. And I'm so intrigued.
The Alchemy, track 15. Alchemy is the science of trying to turn things into gold that are not gold. And I keep seeing people, God, I'm so fucking mad about this as an Invisible String stan. I love Invisible String. It's my favorite on Folklore. If you've been here a while, you know how much I love that song. One single thread of gold tied me to you. And then Daylight, Olivia, the lover stan. I once believed love would be burning red, but it's golden like daylight. And then The Alchemy.
So my thing with the word alchemy, and this is just my own gripe, it's not just turning things into gold.
That's true.
That is just how it was applied at one point in time. People want to be rich and turn things into gold. Alchemy on a broader, more like simpler term is just turning matter into different matter.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be gold is what I'm saying. Okay. It can be anything else. I don't like it.
That's the lover stand coming out. You're right though. Like, it was just colloquially used as the phrase of trying to turn things into gold. And then it turns into something like, it was a very brief period of time in, what was it, like the 1800s gold rush era, where it was like, mm-hmm. oh, it's the art of alchemy. And then that went away when people realized that you cannot turn something into gold. It's either gold or it's not. But people keep being like, what if she's digging up into the past and using that as a reference for gold? I guess we'll know tomorrow night. Fuck.
That makes
not
me
as
sick.
Of the time recording. By the way, I don't think we've said this yet. We're recording the Sunday before Tortured Poets. So if Taylor, dear God, if she releases anything over the next few days, which she will, just know that our information is outdated. Thank you.
We're doing our best here.
You really are.
What I expect from The Alchemy, because I'm just rejecting the gold thing. Mm-hmm. Complete rejection on my part. I'm sorry for being so aggressive. I just can't stand that.
No, you're good.
I'm gonna be
heartbroken
if it's real. I want to see, it's just kind of more simple of like, you know, if she were a master of alchemy, she would turn this into this. She would turn what they've become into this or something like that.
And that could be it. I don't know. This one, this does not give us much, but.
No. I think this one's going to be very poetry-y.
Very fountain pen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's giving Ivy.
Or even Quill.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
Clara Bow.
This is track 16.
Tell us who Clara Bow is.
So Clara Bow was an American actress who rose to stardom during the silent film era of the 1920s. And I need to know more about her life. I have not done all my due diligence here and looked up Clara Bow's life. I know there's a lot of theories going around about like people in Clara's life having similar names sounding like William Bowery or something like that, which is interesting, but I have not personally fact-checked. Is this going to be a story of Clara Bow? Like, are we going to get like a little bit of like the Lucky One vibe or the Last Great American Dynasty vibe? Or is she going to like compare herself directly to Clara Bow throughout the whole thing?
I
know
so
she's
I
kind
think
of the Lucky One and
I think you're right. I think it's going to be like a Lucky One, Nothing New situation because Clara Bow's legacy was frequently reduced to her relationships, and she was consistently scrutinized for the things that happened privately. So maybe that's her saying that she feels like her, like you said, lucky one vibes of no matter what art I put out, I'm always reduced to the scandal surrounding it. And we've talked a lot about, I don't know how many times I've said this exact phrase, so I'm going to say it again for people who might be new here. Who Taylor Swift has dated is one of the least interesting things about her. But knowing about her personal life helps a lot of people, me included, frankly, understand her art better and therefore be able to apply it to my life better. Because I have a parasocial relationship with her and I know that. I'm pretty self-aware about it.
We definitely take interest, but there are more interesting things, absolutely.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is not just her relationships. But, you know, they add context and they add flair. She went out to Coachella last night, as of the day of recording this, with Travis Kelce, and they looked so cute, and she was wearing a New Heights hat. And that's when somebody asks, tell me about Taylor Swift, I'm not going to start with, well, this is who she's dated and she went out with Travis Kelce the other night. I'm going to talk about the million other things and then be like, also, right now, she has the cutest relationship in the world with Travis Kelce.
We just like to see our girl happy, okay? We have an acute interest in her happiness because we want to see it happen for her.
And yeah, she might not know we exist. She might. I still think she might be a Tate listener. Loki.
Hey, we have Taylor. Episodes.
Hi, Taylor. Please reach out or don't. I don't want Olivia to die of a heart attack this young. But like, we have an invested interest. Okay. So yeah, I want to know everything about her and I'm not going to feel bad about it. In fact, we will be having a lecture, Loki, all about that coming up soon. We're going to talk about that at the end of the episode though.
But I think overall, I am very interested in Clara Bow, the song.
I think you were right on the nose when you said Lucky One.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to end this album. I'm excited. And there was so much tea around her relationship with Joe Alwyn towards the end. I just think she had a lot to say.
Absolutely.
So that's the main track list, which comes in at 65 minutes and some change. That's crazy. That's such a long album.
16.
Yeah.
Not including our little bonus tracks, though.
Let's talk about them.
So on the, I guess, the standard edition of Tortured Poets, it comes with this bonus track, The Manuscript. The first thing that pops to my mind is, you know, it's like a manuscript. It's like a not yet published piece of writing, right? Is this going to be like she's writing the manuscript for the next chapter in life? Like she's done and closed this chapter. And like, I imagine getting out of a 6-year-long relationship. You know, I previously had a 4-year-long relationship and didn't know what to do when it ended. Like you don't know what's coming next. And it's either terrifying or exciting. And is she writing the manuscript for the next chapter?
I love that. Honestly, I haven't been able to pin anything down despite thinking about it quite a bit. So I'm going to run with your theory because I got nothing else.
I think it'll be light and uplifting and kind of encouraging because I think Clara Bow is going to be sad.
I think this will be hope-driven. I think she'll want to end the album on something hope-driven here.
I agree.
The next track, 17, additional track, is The Bolter. And I didn't know what the fuck that was supposed to mean until somebody said, are they saying The Bolter, like, Joe Owen bolted out of her life? I don't know.
Or was she The Bolter? For some reason, I don't know exactly why. Okay, maybe I do, now that I'm saying this out loud. This song is screaming to me, parallel with The Archer, who could ever leave me, darling, but who could stay, to The Bolter. For some reason, my brain just wants that to go together just from the title alone.
I feel like in you saying that, it reminded me of how much Taylor likes to use certain motifs throughout her music and really loves parallels. And I know that you're a Tolerated stan. I know that you don't like thinking about Tolerated being about Joe Alwyn at all. But I think about the lyrical parallel that she used of an invisible string, something wrapped all of my past mistakes in barbed wire, and then Tolerate It, she sings, where's that man who threw a blanket over my barbed wire?
I know.
Yeah, she does those little ties. So like, I'm just saying, I feel like we're going to get a lot of those and that's going to give us a lot of context.
Do we feel like Bolter is going to be slow or fast?
Slow. I think it's going to be slow.
I agree. I can't see it as fast.
I don't think it's going to be hope-driven either.
No.
So the albatross is a bird. That's the next one.
Oh my God. So I think there's another meaning too. Hold on. Let me look it up. Okay. An albatross is a bird. Albatross is also a word for a source of frustration or guilt, an encumbrance.
That's probably it. I feel like we're going to get a lot of Mental Cages songs on this one.
But like, is she going to like use the bird albatross as like a metaphor throughout the whole thing? Like, is it going to have a double meaning? I see it having a double meaning.
I think so too. I also could imagine her like talking about freeing herself and being like an albatross.
To escape from.
Yes.
The albatross.
Yes. She also like dressed kind of like an albatross at the Grammys when she announced this. Just a point. Point
oh
of order.
God, stop it. Oh, you're so right.
Yeah, look at her outfit. And then look at an albatross side by side. Just
tell me that you hated her Grammy outfit without telling me you hated her Grammy outfit.
I thought it was fine, but white is not her most flattering. It washes her out. And what the fuck was going on with her hair? I love her. She is so gorgeous. She looks great in anything. She could have looked greater. I stand by what I said. The black dog.
Who's the black dog? Taylor.
Okay. Black dog also, according to Cambridge University, means feelings of depression and a great sadness and lack of energy. So if the black dog is representing her depression taking over her, I'm just saying that's what it seems like it's going to be. Or it's a reference to the legendary Led Zeppelin song. It's one or the other. Or maybe it's the coffee shop in Kansas City. Maybe it's the coffee shop in Kansas City. Black Dog Coffee. Who knows?
You know, I think the manuscript is going to be so hopeful and like beautiful. And then she's going to be like, here's the other three. They're depressing as fuck.
Yeah, here's the three rejects, because if I ended the album on this, y'all would call me into a psych ward. So that's what I think is going to be happening.
Kind of similar to Midnight's Mastermind. If you did not listen to last week's episode, we talk about how the ending to Mastermind spins really hopeful and happy and relieved. And that's the ending to the album. And then she slaps us with Dear Reader and the bonus tracks.
Yep. Like, never take advice from someone who's falling apart. You got Woulda, Coulda, Shoulda in the bonus tracks. You had The Great War in the bonus tracks. What the fuck was up with the bonus tracks? What's up with Midnight's, man? The further away we get from that album, the more I'm like, what was that? That was a fever dream.
Literally. The first time we listened to the 3 a.m. tracks at literally 3 a.m. because we were listening in Eastern time, I don't remember that moment in time, genuinely.
No, absolutely not.
Very I remember listening to The Great War and being like, that was aight. Who says The Great War is aight?
We did at 3 a.m.
Danny, which one is going to be your favorite, do you think?
Okay, as a preface, anything I guess will be my favorite will not be my favorite. I don't remember what I said for Midnight's, but I don't think that I guessed correctly. So I probably won't guess correctly now. I definitely didn't think I Can See You would be my favorite of all tracks from Speak Now. So that's my credentials of being wrong.
This is hard. It's hard when we have 20 tracks to look through. I'm going to have 20 new Taylor Swift songs.
I know. I can't wrap my head around that. I think I'm going to really like the lyrics of The Black Dog. I think my favorite is going to be, with absolutely no evidence on which to base this, Fresh Out the Slammer.
Interesting.
Because it doesn't intrigue me a whole lot, which means that it will probably fucking bang. But now that I've said it out loud, it won't be. So just keep that in mind. But also, track 7s usually aren't my favorite.
This is so hard.
Maybe The Smallest Man That Ever Lived Too, because that's such a cunty title. Now that we've broken the cunt wall on this podcast, I'm allowed to say it.
My mother, you don't know what we're talking about. Go listen to Tipsy Swifties.
Yeah, go listen to the Tipsy Swifties episode, because my mom heard me say cunt more than once. So now the wall is broken.
We're here now.
Uh-huh.
Man, this is difficult, but my heart is drawn to So Long London. I think it's going to be so sad, and I think I'm going to appreciate it so much. I like it when she makes me sad. On that same note, I have a feeling about Who's Afraid of Little Old Me. Given our theory on the manuscript, I think I'm going to like it if it's like that.
I think so too. I think there could be potential there. I hadn't even thought about that. I don't know what I think will be my least favorite though.
I know. That's what I'm literally trying to do right now.
Okay, I'm going to guess Florida, but not because I don't think it'll be intriguing, but because historically I haven't always loved her collabs as much as songs on the rest of the album, even though I love Florence and the Machine. So statistically I have to pick a collab, so I'm picking Florida.
You know, or that's a good point.
Clara Bow, because I think Clara Bow will make me really sad.
You know, I'm going to say that The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived will disappoint me. That's the only one I can come up with.
All right. Well, we'll know in less than 2 days from the time this episode drops.
This was hard because, like you said earlier, every single track title on this album has piqued my interest. Like with Midnight's, she would announce some of the titles and I would be like, meh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what to even think about that question, ... Like, okay. I still feel that way about the song, low-key.
Same. No offense, question stands.
Yeah, it's fun. Don't get me wrong. I get down to question, but I forget about question. these ones, I'm just so, and because I have this like weird like feeling about Florida being like me, it's not going to be. I think Florida's going to be perfectly fine.
Okay, so she's given us some lyrics. As of the time of us recording, we know that we're going to get more. So let's talk about them and which song we think they're going to be on before we wrap up here today.
The first lyric that she has teased, by the time that we've recorded on Sunday night prior to the release of Tortured Poets, is "Crowd goes wild at her fingertips, half moonshine, full eclipse."
I feel like that has to be about her when she points into the crowd and is like, let me try something. And everyone goes wild. So I don't know. Maybe Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? Because it's about her having power, maybe.
Yeah. And it kind of like turns like a melancholy way almost with half moonshine, full eclipse. What do you mean by that? I saw some people online speculating about it being Clara Bow, or maybe it's Florida. And then the next lyric is, "I wish I could unrecall how we almost had it all."
Okay. First and foremost, that reminds me so much of "I Forget About You Long Enough to Forget Why I Needed to" from All Too Well. And "Never Again, I Just Wish I Could Forget When It Was Magic" from Better Man. Both red songs, both very breakup, both very devastating. I just feel like that has to be like So Long London, right?
My gut says LOML, if we're following the theory of love of my life, loss of my life. That's a good line, though.
We're probably wrong. We're always wrong.
We're always wrong. Sometimes, though, we can be a little right.
A little. We know Taylor very, very well for people who have never met her.
I think it's harder this time around because, like, with the vault tracks, specifically I'm thinking the 1989 vault tracks, we knew about her relationship with Harry Styles. We knew a lot of information about it. And this album is going to give us our information on what went down with Joe Alwyn, where, what Taylor is feeling, how she has been feeling throughout the process. And we don't know a lot of that yet. Like, we can speculate all day long. We don't have the information yet. So it's hard to say what these songs are going to sound like because we don't know how she's feeling.
Do we have any more lyrics? We know that she's given us the word "hereby."
Hereby. And there's another one. "Conduct." "Hereby" and "conduct." Right?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm not even going to speculate. It's not enough.
Another speculation is, are the sayings on the back of the cover variants, are those lyrics or just vibe setters?
I don't know. I don't know. I hadn't really thought about them being lyrics, but it would make sense if they were.
Yeah. You want to play as if they were?
Sure.
"I love you. It's ruining my life."
"Love of my life." That's my initial response.
Mine is down bad.
You think it's down bad? That could be it. That makes sense.
Like, "I'm down bad for you. It's ruining my life" vibe. Like, down bad. Like, "I'm so obsessed with you. I can't stop loving you. I can't stop being obsessed with you. But this is not good."
Oh, that makes more sense.
Hey, you make sense too here.
I don't think I do. I don't think I do.
We're going on gut feeling. Next one is, "You Don't Get to Tell Me About Sad."
Ooh. It feels right to say that that would be part of So Long London, but I feel like she'd be angrier. So maybe "The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived."
That's what I was thinking too. Or like, "If My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys," if it's angry version. "Am I Allowed to Cry?"
Once again, I'm like, oh my God, So Long London, but that's only my track 5 bias here. So maybe "I Can Do It With a Broken Heart." Like, am I allowed to cry while I have a broken heart? Am I allowed to continue doing my life? Like, I don't know. You said gut feeling. I actually don't have a gut feeling when it comes to these because I don't know. I don't have a gut feeling. I'm just that lost.
I think that like my initial vibe from "Am I Allowed to Cry" is a response to someone like, oh, am I allowed to cry now? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? It comes off as angry to me. I don't know why we think "The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived" and "My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys." Like, our brains are just like angry. Duh.
Sounds angry.
It does. So I feel like I would have to fit in one of those because I think it sounds angry too. "Old Habits Die Screaming."
Oh, God, I love that because it reminds me of "From Eden" by Hozier for some reason. "Innocence Died Screaming. Honey, Ask Me. I Should Know." "Old Habits Die Screaming." So, and that's a dark lyric and a really like relatively upbeat, happy song. So maybe "I Can Fix Him. No, Really, I Can," because she has this habit of doing this.
Or maybe "In Guilty as Sin." I don't know. We're throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks here.
Literally.
We're really trying.
Do we have any more?
That's it.
Wow.
Okay. I'm so sick about this album coming out. This album, like, okay, I want to like say here, as the resident lover stan, you don't need to feel bad for me because I don't love Lover because of Joe Alwyn. Okay. Like, I love Lover because of my experiences with Lover. When I listened to Lover for 3 months straight, I didn't even know Taylor Swift was in a relationship. So I just wasn't paying attention to her life. I was just vibing and the vibes were great. So the breakup doesn't tarnish Lover as an album for me whatsoever. The placement of her Lover tracks in her little Stages of Grief playlist also doesn't affect my views on the songs because I just love Lover. So that's not why I'm nervous here. I just get this, like, not necessarily anxiety, but this sense of anticipation that's not always like 100% positive. Whenever new Taylor Swift lore comes out, new Taylor Swift songs come out, we're getting 20 tracks confirmed, and it's going to shed light on a whole chapter that's in the dark for us right now. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it gives me so much anxiety going into new Taylor Swift stuff because it's going to be, we're in the before stage and there's going to be an after we know. And I just get existential about
it. And there's, once we know, we can't unknow either.
Like, that's, I don't know what it's like without Midnights.
That's so scary to think, like, we didn't have additional context about her relationship with John Mayer, and then would have, could have, should have came out. And we had to make a John Mayer From the Vault episode. We can't unknow what has been known. And this is a lot of new information to backfill the last 7 years. And that's fucking scary, frankly, for people who have an intense investment in Taylor Swift. And I'm glad that we get to do it alongside each other. I'm glad we get to do it alongside all of you listening. For a lot of you listening, this is your first new Taylor Swift album release, and it is kind of anxiety inducing.
Yeah, especially too that, like how you mentioned, like the past 7 years, Danny, you know, she built up an image for her relationship that actually behind closed doors was struggling to varying degrees at different times. Like, what, no matter how much it ebbed and flowed and was good at times, was bad at times, was good at times again, we didn't know that because she protected the public image of it so well that, like, if you started listening to our podcast from the beginning, post Joe Alwyn split, we praised their relationship a lot because that is what she showed us. So for us going years believing the best of this relationship, now we get to know what actually happened. It feels like we grew up and our parents are telling us why they actually divorced.
Yeah, that's really tough, actually. And that's a really good way of putting it. I don't have divorced parents, but I imagine that that's what it feels like. We had somebody message us, and she's probably not going to get to this episode for a long time, but this lovely listener messaged us and said that she discovered our podcast recently and has started from the beginning and is working through every single episode in chronological order because it's important to her. If you're listening, you know who you are. She did message us saying, I kind of cringe because you guys talk about praising their relationship and about how they might be together forever and have kids and get married or whatever. And I'm like, oh, gross. But here's the thing. That's what Taylor led us to believe for so long. So now we can't undo what has been done once this is out in the world. You can't unring the bell. So we're about to ring the bell and we're doing it together and with all of you. And I think that's crazy. I want to talk about other people that we get to share this incredible weekend with. So if you've been listening for the last few months, you know that we have an incredible opportunity coming up here in a few short days. On Monday, April 22nd, we are going to be lecturing at the Taylor Swift class at Harvard University, like the Harvard, like the Elle Woods Harvard. Kind of. It's not the law school, but you know what I mean.
Wild. Wild. I'm so excited.
We are going to try to live stream some of it. We're going to take some clips of it. It happens at noon Eastern time. So log into our socials if you want to see any part of it or see us getting ready. We're going to be putting out so much content leading up to it. And if you're in that class, we'd love to hear from you beforehand what you think about the songs, because we might talk about it a little bit during our lecture. So shoot us an email. We'll talk about our socials here in a minute. But we're really, really excited about the opportunity to do that over Tortured Poets Weekend. So we'll be together. I cannot wait to see you, Olivia.
I know. I'm so excited. When Taylor announced this album and we immediately FaceTimed, because naturally, right? Because we didn't think she was announcing a new album. We thought Rep TV was coming. You know, we were clowning like everyone else, except for some of you smart Swifties out there. Our whole world was shook when she announced brand new album. When me and Danny realized that that was going to be the weekend. We were in Boston for Harvard.
Taylor's a Tay listener. I'm telling you, this keeps fucking happening. She keeps lining things up perfectly. We've mentioned it before on the pod, so you probably know this, but She just keeps putting things and times when Olivia and I are already organically going to be together. And we live hundreds of miles apart, so that doesn't happen super often. But she keeps planning stuff when we're already going to be together. Speak Now TV, 1989 Taylor's version.
Red TV.
Red TV.
Literally, because she, you already had tickets to come see me in Michigan, plane tickets. Mm-hmm. And she moved the weekend to the weekend that yep. you were going to be there. Like, she moved it last minute.
We didn't have the podcast at the time, but still. Then somehow she announces Speak Now, and we're in person to see that. Speak Now in Kansas City, when we're going to the Kansas City shows together. Oh, okay, that's crazy. I plan on coming to visit you for Halloween, for Halloween weekend. Oh, 1989 Taylor's version's coming, baby. Okay. Oh, we're going to go lecture together at Harvard? Oh, how about I just drop Tortured Poets, which is so Harvard-coded. It's so college-coded, Tortured Poets Department. While we're... I can't. Hi, Taylor.
I just feel so lucky.
I feel so lucky, too. Anyway, what'd you Taylor in this week?
I Taylor'd that there's rumors circulating around that Scott Swift's favorite song is Florida. How interesting. That makes me warm up to the track more. What did you Taylor?
I Taylor'd that Black Dog also means depression.
That song's gonna, and it's on the black vinyl.
Yeah.
Variant. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's gonna be, yeah, that's gonna be a rough song. That's gonna be like the Dear Reader.
Probably. And I am a Dear Reader defender.
Dear Reader's dark. We'll get to it eventually. It is featured in Mental Cages.
Yeah, it's so Mental Cages. Well, if you want to reach out to us before, during, after the drop, let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from all of you. This is the first Taylor Swift album release, not on the podcast. We've done Midnights came out when the podcast already existed because we've been around for a couple of years now. But this is the first one with such a large community that we have now, because since then, we've grown by literally thousands of you. So thank you for being here. You can find us on TikTok and Instagram at Taylearning Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Taylearning. You can find us at our website, taylearningpodcast.com, where you can submit something. You can look at our posts, our history, how we came to be, yada yada.
Buy your Tipsy Swifties glasses.
Get your Tipsy Swifties glasses. Or you can shoot us an email, taylearningpodcast@gmail.com.
And I guess we're not going to talk until after we've listened to the entirety of the Tortured Poets Department, because next week you will get our first impressions of every track, our immediate thoughts and feelings.
Mm-hmm. We will be recording it in Boston, the day before we do our Harvard lecture, too. So just throwing that out there. Okay. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye. See you next week.
Signing off from the Tortured Poets Department.
The chairman of the Tortured Poets Department. I cannot believe we're not going to talk until after Tortured Poets.
I know. Ooh.
I'm scared. Good.
Everything's fine. We get to hug each other in like 2 days.
I know. So soon.